Hello, and welcome to another episode of Meta Sidekicks. My name is Liv, and this is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal, and in between. Today, we're going to be talking about intuition, inspired by my beliefs that as a professional psychic medium, my gifts are changing. I know that sounds odd, right? So something that I feel that I've learned over the past 5 years of utilizing my mediumship professionally is that my gifts as a medium are not solely dictated by moi. I may be the physical conduit in which spiritual energy is being channeled through, but I am definitely not the man behind the curtain. Those beings are like my spirit guides. So the way I like to explain how I believe spiritual information is able to be channeled through me is by comparing my spirit guides to operators, like the old style call girl operators. You guys know what I'm talking about, with like the big old switchboard. So when I sit down to do readings for people, say the soul of a past family member comes in, right? And we'll just say his name's Uncle Larry. Uncle Larry comes in. It's almost as if he was making a phone call to whoever it is that I'm going to be giving information to during a reading. Now, that spiritual phone call is sort of thrown out there, and myself and my spirit guides receive that information, or at least telephone ring, I should say. Now, when it comes to how I perceive spiritual information using my psychic abilities, that is going to be more so dictated by my spirit guides. Relating it back to my spirit guides being like the switchboard operator girls, Uncle Larry sends out that phone call. It's received by myself and my spirit guides. And the ways in which Uncle Larry wishes to communicate information and what types of information are sent through energetically, spiritually, to my spirit guides, who then plug in the call, like those big old lines on an old switchboard, into me, the medium. And then I receive that information that Uncle Larry has to give to whoever I'm giving a reading to at that point in time from my spirit guides, who have placed the call or the information accordingly into my clairpsychic abilities so that I can receive that information in a way that makes sense to me. Hence, why there's different types of mediumship and different ways mediums receive information. It's because think of the medium as a computer, right? And their spirit guides as the person or people typing in all the commands into the computer. And that soul or spirit that they're channeling is the one telling the spirit guides, hey, this is what I got to get done. And the spirit guides are like, okay, cool. We're going to do this, this, and that. And then that's going to tell the medium what it is that you are trying to convey to the person that is speaking to the medium. I hope that makes sense. Now, our spirit guides are spiritual beings, however you want to conceptualize that in your own spirituality, that are here to help guide us in our physical life, right? So if they're the ones that help us with our psychic abilities, then they're also the ones that are going to be helping us move through, forward, whatever it may be, in our own spiritual journeys and with our own psychic abilities. So if you're ready to reach a new point in your spiritual journey, then your spirit guides are going to be the ones that help mediate and progress that. And I feel like my spirit guides, I don't know what kind of movement it is, but I am a very, very clairvoyant mental medium. And I feel like my spirit guides are trying to taper down my clairvoyance. And I feel like they have been moving my claircognizance forward, i.e. what I would assume or equate to as intuition. Why? I'm not entirely sure yet, but I had a reading last week with a lovely, lovely woman, and it wasn't until the end of the reading that the soul of her father stepped forward. Now, I would say 98% of the time, almost 100%, when a soul steps forward, they will give me clairvoyant information for me to validate who they are in relation to whoever my client is that I'm sitting with. One of the most prominent things that they've been using lately to help validate who they are is telling me what side of the family my client's nose resembles in relation to them. So like, say a grandmother steps forward in spirit and she'll tell me that whoever I'm talking to, whether it be say her grandson, for example, she'll tell me in spirit, she'll convey to me, if you will, oh, he has a nose that looks like mine, or my nose looks different. So then I will ask my client, do you have your mom's nose or your dad's nose? And then that will tell me what side of the family this soul is coming from, whether it be the paternal or the maternal side of my client's family, which I think is very interesting. However, I've been getting more information that, again, I would put under claircognizance or intuition, where I'm not being given clairvoyant information. But nonetheless, the information that I'm being given, even though I can't necessarily see the soul and spirit like I usually do, the information is making sense to my clients, which just is pushing me out of my comfort zone. You know what I'm saying? So I don't necessarily need so much information spelled out to me. And I feel like over the past 5 years, my spirit guides have really helped me to define my mediumship, but also give information to me while I'm channeling spirit in a way that's very similar to how I would meet people in the physical world, right? But we have to remember that I'm talking to souls, and souls no longer are physical people. They're just the energy or essence of people that were here. So it's sort of spiritually silly, if you will, for them to continue to keep communicating with me in the same ways, I guess. But again, talking to souls or communicating to souls like that is very easy for me, or comfortable, I should say, because that's how I talk to people in the real world. Like, I see them, we greet, they tell me things about them, et cetera, et cetera. So the ways that I meet souls in spirit, or the way that I channel their energy, is conveyed to me by spirit or in my guides, very similarly to how I would meet them in the physical world, which helps not only me and my confidence as a medium, because being a medium is such an abstract thing, but it also helps my clients as well. But I'm also realizing that maybe that is just another comfortable thought that makes me feel good and isn't necessarily necessary in my mediumship. Because another thing that I employ personally in my profession as a medium is that I never want to know something about someone that they wouldn't give consent for me to know anyways. So unless the information doesn't give peace or clarity, healing, etc., then I'm not going to be given any information about you that spirit would think would break those consent rules. It's not something that you would outwardly talk about with me yourself, or something that was intrinsically imperative to your healing, happiness, etc., then I'm not going to know about it. And because of that, I've been realizing that my spirit guides have sort of been prepping me a little bit for getting more intuitive or claircognizant information, because sometimes people will ask me questions during readings, but they'll give me the bare bones of whatever it is. And that's completely fine. I don't need to know the specifics about things that are going on in your life, or the things that are going on in your family, unless it's healing for you to talk to me about it. And then in which case, spirit will make you talk about it. But anyways, the moral of the story is, I've been learning that even though I wasn't able to see the soul of this man behind me, I was able to feel his energy behind me. And he was giving me consistent information in a very point blank, straightforward fashion that was still able to convey information to his daughter, regardless of if I knew contextually every aspect or detail about him or the things that he was saying. Because as a medium, it's not about me, it's about the person that I'm talking to. So I don't need to understand the information, because as long as I say it to you in the same way that the spirit is trying to convey or portray that information to the person that I'm talking to, my client, the sitter, then that's all that matters. As long as you understand what I'm saying, because you know where the information is coming from, then it doesn't, that's it. That's all that matters. But that's something that's really hard for me, because I need validation in my mediumship. And it's almost like my spirit guides are like, listen, you've been doing this professionally for 5 years. You do not need to be validated in your mediumship anymore. You just need to do what you need to do as a medium, and that you can do that without validating your own egotistical idea of yourself. And that to me is scary. It's very, very intimidating, feeling as if you're being told that you need to trust in your intuition, because for as long as I have been doing this, I have always said and talked to people and told others that I am a very, very, like, intuition games, I always fail intuition games. And it's funny because I am a psychic medium. Let me talk to the souls around you 100%. I will do that all day long. But if you ask me what card you're holding up or what icon is on the card behind whatever it is that you're holding, I will probably not guess what it is. So I think it's interesting that my spirit guides are giving me information in a more intuitive, claircognizant way, something that I'm very uncomfortable in, but trying to do so in a way that says, you know, we're not here to continually validate you, because you don't need that. We're moving on from that. You don't need to have your hand held in that way anymore. So that has got me thinking, what is intuition and how can we understand it? And I think that question in and of itself is exactly what we're going to talk about not doing today.
Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars Rewards. That means win or lose, every bet you place brings you closer to the type of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app using promo code RadioDYW. Place your first bet of $1 or more for a chance to double your winnings on your next 10 bets. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. Max bet of $25 for doubled winnings. Max additional winnings of $2,500 per bet. Profit boost tokens expire 14 days after receipt. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
So, intuition, what is it? Specifically, I think in my own sort of words that we could define intuition as wisdom mixed with instinct. Now, for learning purposes, let me give you the Oxford Dictionary definition of these words. So for instinct is defined as an innate, typically fixed pattern of behavior in animals in response to certain stimuli. However, if you look at the Britannica Encyclopedia sort of definition, is that instinct is specifically a response that is not learned. Now, when we move on to wisdom is defined as the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So when it comes to intuition, what is it that you would define intuition as? I feel like when I started learning more about spirituality and how people portray themselves in the spiritual community and what spirituality is to them, etc., I just always thought that intuition was like knowing something without knowing that you knew, this sort of instinctual thing that you felt pulled to and you didn't know why you knew something or why you felt a certain way. But then if you followed your gut intuition or your gut feelings, then you would have this like savory outcome, or it was the right answer, but you didn't know how you got the answer. And it's all like, is it spiritual? Is it not? Is it supernatural? That type of stuff. So when I looked up the definition for intuition, according to Oxford Dictionary, they define it as a thing that one knows or considers likely from instinctive feeling rather than conscious reasoning. Now, given the more spiritual sort of understanding of it, and now the definition, when I was writing down that, I thought that intuition could be a mix between wisdom and instinct, I was like, maybe people will think that you can't say that intuition is wisdom, based on the idea of that intuition just sort of pops out of nowhere. Like, we don't know where it comes from. We think it's like primitive, spiritual, supernatural, things like that. However, a more scientific definition that I found of intuition is that intuition can be understood as patterns our unconscious minds implicitly recognize over time. However, these patterns are not infallible. So I thought that was interesting. The person that I found that was talking about this said that we as humans are able to recognize patterns in our environment. And even though we may not be consciously remembering or putting together the pieces that have brought our conscious minds to the conclusion of whatever intuitive feeling or thought that has crossed our mind, it's all of these sort of subconscious networks from things that you've learned in the past, i.e. wisdom, if you will, that leads our brains to this intuitive thought or action, which I thought was really interesting. Now, bringing back more of the spiritual and sciencey, because I think spirituality and science has so many crossovers, it's redonkulous. But Carl Jung himself defines intuition as, quote, a perception by ways or means of the unconscious. So again, bringing forward that idea of wisdom and instinct all put together. Now, spiritually, my own definition for intuition, at least generally or for others, like if you are having intuitive instincts about just normal, more mundane things, or if you're doing like a tarot reading for someone else, etc., I feel like intuition could be defined as channeling specific energies of the universe. However, personally, I would say that intuition is channeling specific energies of the universe which align with yours. Because I'm really into both the spiritual and the scientific perspectives on intuition. I feel like so many people, they're like, oh, trust your intuition and everything of your heart's desires will be yours, because it's like manifestation. If you align your energy with certain other things that you want to manifest into your life, then intuitively you should be drawn to those things, right? But then we find ourselves asking, or at least putting intuition underneath the idea of like a divination tool. Is intuition divination? Yes and no. At least that's what I would argue. But just like with divination tools, intuition, I feel like, just becomes another thing, a part of ourselves that we try to utilize in order for our own benefit. It's what can intuition do for me? And I feel like that is almost like negating the whole fact of intuition in and of itself. So as we move forward with the podcast, let's try and step back from ideas of mediumship and psychic abilities, etc., and just try to focus on this topic as people, to more so listen and learn about this for a moment without the intent to make it work for us. People ask about how to strengthen and grow psychic abilities a lot. So many people ask me this. They're like, what can I do to do this? What can I do to do that? It's such a delicate thing, because not only do I believe, based on the years that I've been doing this, that our psychic abilities aren't necessarily something that we solely control, but I also don't think there's one finite or like specific things that we have to do in order to strengthen our abilities. I feel like sometimes the best thing to do is nothing, or at least what we see or what we perceive or what society tells us is nothing, but it could just be everything. So let's take a step back from trying to ask what intuition can do for us, and instead think about intuition more creatively and less commercially. All right, philosophically speaking, intuition is used to process abstract concepts or problems. Intuition is our immediate thoughts, ideas, or answers to something, and these thoughts, ideas, or answers seemingly come from out of nowhere with no cause or justification or reflection. Now, reflection is important, because reflection, in a philosophical sense, is a series of steps, thoughts, or actions used to reach an answer or resolution, new ideas, etc. So when we're talking about intuition and reflection here, we're talking about two ways of thinking that have been defined in philosophical terms. Now, when I read this and learned about it, or watched a video, I should say, I found it interesting that when they were talking about what intuition is and then what reflection is, reflection is something or a thought process that can be used to validate intuition. But intuition does not come from reflection. It's only the other way around. And when we talk about reflection being a series of steps or thoughts or actions that are used to reach an answer or resolution, these series or steps, when we think about them, are actually intuition themselves. Right? Just think about that for a second. Intuition does not come from reflection, but reflection comes from intuition. For example, I'm sure a lot of you that are listening right now really like dogs and have a lot of knowing and understanding or things that you've learned about dogs and like owning them, their behavior, etc. So to sort of understand the difference between intuition and reflection and how one goes into the other, but the other doesn't go into one. When a dog runs away, what is it that people usually just are taught to do? Run after the dog, right? If the dog is running, someone has to run and catch the dog. However, if you know about animal behavior and you're very well versed in like owning dogs, training them, etc., or at least moderately well versed, then you'll probably know through your intuition that when a dog starts running and people start running after it, you might be the one person that intuitively, instead of running after the dog, you start running away from the dog. Because if people are running after the dog and the dog just keeps running faster, you may instinctively, intuitively, whatever you'd like to call it in this instant, run away, because the dog will then start following you. And when that dog starts running after you and it's able to get close enough that you can catch it, all of the other people that were running after the dog that was running away from them might come up to you and say, "Why did you just start running away from the dog? How did that work?" And you'll say, "Well, intuitively, with my intuition, my instinct, I thought that running away from the dog would get it to chase after me." Now, that's where this reflection comes in. Knowing about animal behavior, all of these subconscious things that you didn't necessarily think about individually before you made the decision to run away from the dog, is that as a predator, dogs would rather chase something than be chased. Or if you discerned from the dog's body language while it was running that it's skittish of people, if someone is running after the dog, it's just going to keep running. But if you run away from it, it might be like, "Oh no, I need someone to help protect me. I'm going to run after the thing that's running away from me." Or the fact that from the body language and all these other subconscious, much more quiet, not outwardly noted things, you're going to say, "Oh, this dog's going to want to chase something instead because they're going to think that it's cool that something's running away from them. And they'll think that it's a game. And then I can at least lead the dog away from danger and into an area that has like a fence or something. And then we can catch the dog." Another good example that many of you may be able to relate to is a baby that's crying. Instead of yelling at the baby like so many others might do, if you whisper at the baby, it gets the baby's attention. And then they start being more quiet too, or at least trying to be quiet so that they can hear whatever it is that you may be saying. So again, that's an intuitive thing that some people do. Not a lot of people do it, but intuitively, when you go back and try to reflect on why that intuition could have worked, it's all these other sort of minute little things that you have learned that your subconscious processed and threw out as intuition for your brain to solve a problem. So reflection can check or validate intuition, but intuition is often hindsight in a more spiritual sense. So when we think about intuition in a more practical or like personal sense, intuition could even be you are driving and you get lost, right? Your phone's not working, you don't have GPS, you don't have a map, nothing like that. So instead of asking for directions, like most people wouldn't, me included, you're just like, "Okay, what direction do I feel is the right way to get back home? Like, how do I remember where, what pool, what sensation can help me intuitively understand what direction I need to go?" And then you use your intuition and then you figure out, "Oh, I know exactly where I'm going," and you end up figuring out how to get back home. However, when we use intuition in things like asking for advice or direction on our career, our love life, education, whether or not we should move houses, our life's purpose, etc., this all brings me to the more spiritual side of intuition that has absolutely been racking my brain.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Now, as always, the sources that I used to sort of understand and help coagulate my thoughts for this podcast will be listed down in the show notes or the description below, depending on if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube, Apple, Spotify, etc. One of the podcasts that helped me prepare this information for you all and just get another person's spiritual perspective of intuition as well is the Pocket Coven podcast, which I think I mentioned in a previous podcast before, but they specifically did, Amber and Callie, a podcast on intuition. So I highly recommend you guys listening to their podcast, which I have a link down in the show notes below to, called Feral Intuition. But when they said that learning to listen to your intuition is not learning to listen and act on your anxiety, I felt that on a mental, physical, spiritual, emotional level. And it has, for me personally, has helped me to understand and embrace my own intuition a little bit better. Just because I said at the beginning of this podcast, I don't feel that I'm very good or confident or comfortable using claircognizance or just intuition, if you will. And I think it's because I have all of these thoughts all the time. All I ever try to do is rationalize my emotions and rationalize this and that and think about all the things that are going on in my head at all this all the time. And that's not intuition. Learning to listen to your intuition is not learning to listen and act on your anxiety and insecurities. But intuition is learning to actively listen to and reflect on your emotions, which absolutely just, I'm going to say it again for everybody that might need to hear it again. Learning to listen to your intuition is not learning to listen and act on your anxiety and insecurities, but learning to actively listen to your emotions. For me, personal intuition, so intuition for yourself, like if you wake up in the morning and you ask the universe, your spirit guides, angels, whatever it is that you have in your spiritual practice, help me navigate this day successfully. Like, give me the intuition, help guide me to just do what I need to do to have a good day. That's personal intuition. So personal intuition, things that you ask yourself or for yourself to help guide you, I think, at least for me, is super subtle and super quiet intuition personally. So personal intuition, for me at least, is subtle and quiet. It's a fleeting, quiet, injunctive thought amidst the cacophony of my inner dialogue. Or perhaps it's a terse emotion, which with ephemeral abruptness momentarily stands out amongst the other prolonged emotional conflicts that are going on in my head. Like, I feel like more recently, after listening to Amber and Callie's podcast a while ago. I listened to that podcast a while ago, and then I finally re-listened to it just a few days ago to prepare for this podcast. But trying to understand what intuition feels like to you is so important. And I feel like in the spiritual community, so many other spiritualists, and this might be true for them, which is totally fine. It's more so I'm asking you to ask yourself what your intuition feels like to you, not what other people tell you it feels like. Because I feel like, again, trying to step back from the commerciality of the spiritual community and the commerciality of intuition, what does it feel like to you? So many people are like, oh, I just asked my spirit guides this, or I've intuitively got all of this information about this, and it was so like easy, and just they project it as being something that's simple and in your face and clear. And I feel like intuition is not that, even from the scientific definition of it. It is like this subliminal subconscious thing that you get an answer from because of things that you've done in the past. And then Carl Jung's definition of it as well, none of them ever make it appear to be this clear-cut thing that makes a decision for you and you just go with it and it leads to this positive outcome. I feel like that is, it might be someone's truth, but it's not mine right now. And if that's clear and consistent with your intuition for you, heck yeah, I'm kind of jelly of you. But as far as I'm starting to understand and explore, intuition personally is so subtle and it's so quiet. It is those emotions that sort of just resurface and they're like, hello, here's the answer to the question you've been looking for. And then they just like drift away. So I feel like it's kind of when, for example, just another example, because maybe you've had this and it helped you the way this, like, I hope this example helps you with the quiet subtlety of internal intuition is what I'm trying to get at. For example, say you're like going for a hike. I love going for hikes. It's great. But I also can get lost in a paper bag. And there's been a couple times I've gone hiking or been in the woods by myself and I'm like, oh no, I have wandered too far from the path. I do not know where to go. So if you have ever experienced something like that, has it ever been like this wah, 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 giant, big old sort of light of intuition going off saying, you need to go this way and then you'll end up going down the right direction and then you'll just end up on the path? No, it's always been like a subtle sort of thing. Like, am I going to do this? Is it actually going to work? And it's like, there was one time that I was younger. I was in summer camp and we were playing a game where all of the children run into the woods and they have to like tag one another and drag each other back to each other's like opposing team's bases. They called it war in the woods. That's just what we called it. And the camp counselors would give you like, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes, an hour in the woods. And then at the end of the time, whoever's team had the most like prisoners in their camp would win, right? So I ended up getting really, really lost in the woods, didn't know where I was. And I was like, I feel like I've been out here for way too long all by myself. And I remember almost like panicking a little bit, right? And when I talk about that personal intuition, right? It's almost like it could be a terse emotion that sort of stands out among all the other anxiety ones, the ones that are just like telling you all of the thoughts that make you more nervous. I had this very like calm sort of emotion that came over me like, nope, you can do this. You just need to walk this way. But then it was gone. And I was like, well, I'm just going to listen to that because that really made me feel better. And I ended up getting back to camp. I was like 20 minutes late and they had people looking for me and I felt really, really bad. But it was that one little emotion amongst all the other ones that seemed very different, very calm, very strong, like a pillar of an emotion, if you will. And then it just faded away. And I was like, well, this is all I got. So I'm going to go with it. And it worked. That was one sort of intuitive thing that I did personally when I was younger. And maybe that helps you to understand more about what your intuition might feel like to you. Now, on the reverse side of that, more as an adult, I feel like, again, as I've already said, I stink at trusting my intuition. Absolutely stink. I feel like I've had those fleeting thoughts, those little interruptive emotions and things like that, that probably have been my intuition telling me the things and the decisions that I should have made at a certain point in time in my life. And I didn't. And did it absolutely bite me in the butt? Yes. But was that the reflection showing me that perhaps why in my professional work, when I do trust my intuition, not necessarily personally, but professionally, where I'm talking to others and their past loved ones, that my intuition is right and that maybe I should just start embracing it a little more? Because I'm quite sure if my intuition wasn't correct and the information that I felt I was receiving had nothing to do with the person that I was talking to, my client, during readings, that they would just be like, wow, you stink, and then turn off the computer and never make another reading with me again. But that hasn't been the case in over 5 years. So I think I need to learn how to trust my intuition in the same capacity that I do professionally, but personally as well. But I don't know how to do that, hence why I'm making this podcast, to try and figure it out with all of you. So moving on to the idea that intuition is often hindsight. Again, reflection can be found after embracing your intuition, but not before. People seem to be under the impression that intuition should lead them directly to only good things. Again, this is the commercialism of spirituality. But your intuition is not a magic ball just used to give you safety, protection, and good fortune all the time. It's an internal compass for learning and growth. Now, another thing that I have been learning more recently is timelines and free will. So I used to be under the impression that your future is never set in stone, which I don't think it is. I do think there are certain things that we're supposed to learn and understand in our lives, and that's going to be different for everybody. No one person's life is going to be the same. But there's like certain religions that say that like predestination, right? Like everything is already picked for you, so you just have to like live your life and not really think about it. I don't necessarily agree entirely on that idea. I think that the things that you're supposed to learn in this life are already set for you. However, you have the free will, which dictates how, when, where, and why you get to whatever point it is in your life that you're supposed to reach. Does that make sense? For example, I could have gotten married 6 years ago, 7 years ago. My husband and I are going to be celebrating our 10 years of being together in October. And he proposed to me 3 years into dating, and we could have gotten married right afterwards. But we waited until our 7 year anniversary to get married for a lot of different things. Could we have gotten married as soon as we got engaged? Yes, there's nothing technically that was preventing us from doing that. But in that time, there was a lot of things that happened that could have resulted in me not marrying my husband. But I do think that at the end of the day, I was supposed to marry the man that I did when I did. It's just that I had the free will to say when, where, and why. So marrying my husband was something that I was supposed to do, but I had the free will to choose when it happened. So when it comes to intuition and this idea that I feel like so many people have of that, it's just this thing that if you follow, you're going to have all of this happy, lovely, go lucky stuff. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think intuition is something that helps guide free will. But I also think that if someone is always trying to use their intuition in order to seek validation before even making a move, right? Before even making a choice, then that is something that can actually end up preventing you from moving on, from growing, and from learning. Trying to seek validation for your life through intuition is almost like going back and trying to use reflection in order to justify your intuition. Remember, reflection comes after intuition, not before it. So trying to use intuition to try and understand what's going to happen before what happens happens could end up biting you in the butt, hindering your free will, because now you're putting your free will into something that hasn't happened yet, into intuition. It's kind of like putting the beans before the Frank, spiritually speaking, which I know can sound so just frustrating, because when we think about intuition, we think about like trying to find answers before we make a decision. But at the end of the day, I don't think that's, or I should say, I'm realizing that that is wrong. I don't know. This podcast is so hard to try and like wrap your head around. I feel like when it comes to intuition, yes, you're using it to make a decision about something that you don't necessarily have an answer to. But I think the way in which intuition should be embraced is not necessarily looking for an answer before something happens, but looking for an answer regardless of what the outcome could be. Like, you're looking for a specific outcome, right? But I think people put too much pressure and weight on using their intuition. I think it's something that, again, it should be more instinctual. It should be something that just comes to you, not something that you necessarily go out and seek to try and find all the time. You don't seek to find instinct. It's just something that's a part of you. Again, that's what intuition is. It's your inner wisdom. And I don't think that's something that we can just whip out all the time and use like a sword. It's something that you flow through and follow and let it lead you and guide you in a very fluid and subtle way. And it's almost as if the more thought you try to put into intuition, the less intuition you actually have. Because again, it's supposed to be abstract. It's supposed to be something that just helps bring things together. So the more you try to conceptualize and make it more concrete, I feel like the more it slips away. Hence why this podcast is just getting even harder and harder for me to try and talk about. So let's move on to ways that you can try to access or understand your intuition. The first thing is trying to understand where you feel your intuition. Now, I would advise probably starting personally, but if you're like me and it's easier for you to try and read other people or receive intuitive information for others, that might be somewhere that you would rather start instead. So in an instance like this, maybe sit with yourself almost as if you were to sit with a friend. Don't think about, oh, I'm talking to me. Talk to yourself as if you were talking to someone else. Ask yourself, where do I feel like I receive information? What does it feel like to me when intuition flows through me, that energy that's aligned with me from the universe? For me, it is so subtle and it's so, so quiet. But it's, I think that's because I'm not as confident in it. However, when I'm talking to other people and they ask me questions, when I get that intuitive information, for example, like at the beginning of the podcast where I said I didn't actually see the soul of the man I was talking to, but he gave me information regardless of that to validate who he was and answer questions for his daughter, that is so much easier for me. It's just so much easier. So identifying, what does that feel like to you, depending on if you're sitting with yourself or if you're sitting with other people? The next thing is with tarot cards or divination tools. I'm just going to say tarot cards first and foremost, because I think when it comes to interpreting information, tarot cards are great just because you do have guidebooks with tarot cards, right? The little booklets that tell you how to understand or interpret the card or what each card means. But tarot cards nowadays, or even like the original Rider-Waite tarot deck, have so much symbolism and art in them in and of themselves that I implore you to sit down with your tarot decks if you'd like and ask a question about your life and say, all right, spirit guides, tarot deck that's sitting in front of me, who wants to help me get more guidance on this problem to help me understand my intuition? And look at the symbolism on the cards and don't think about what the card necessarily means by its definition, but what that card shows you or what you feel intuitively guides you on the answers to whatever question it is that you are seeking. Personally, tarot cards terrify me. That's why I purchased a very, very basic tarot deck, I don't know, I think over the summer, because I am terrible at tarot, but I kind of want to be less nervous or intimidated by it, I guess. And I'm terrible at reading tarot in the way of like understanding every card based on the definition and that people teach you, and this is what the card actually represents and symbolizes, et cetera, et cetera. But if you give me a tarot deck and I do a reading for you and I just look at the cards and listen to whatever it is that I feel the cards are telling me in relation to whatever, I don't know. People usually don't even ask me a question. We do this in Patreon Lives a lot, or we have in the past. And it's one of the things that we've taught in mediumship circles as well, to do tarot readings, even if you have no idea what tarot card meanings are, but just intuitively read the cards when you draw cards for another person, and they'll give you information about whatever it is that they're seeking for guidance in their life. And it's actually kind of cool. So I also, I think that's a really good way to start harnessing your intuition. You can use it for yourself or for others. I've only used it really for others. When I use it for myself, it still just intimidates me. But I think that's just the idea of tarot in and of itself. Honoring the way that you feel is another really good way to access or at least start to embrace your intuition, I would say. I would say everybody has, I don't think you have to access your intuition. It's just whether or not you want to embrace it, because I feel like that's more so where I fall into with my personal intuition. It's not that I don't have access to it. It's just that when I subtly get that information or those inklings or those emotions about things, I just stuff them down. I put them in a box and I put that box in a box and then I throw it into the river and then I send it to Cusco and then I smash it with a box or with a hammer. So that's just, I need to learn how to embrace and sit with and be present with my emotions. And then I feel like instead of missing them and putting them in a box, I'll be able to embrace them and use them to guide me in my intuition. So honoring the way that you feel, but that's also different than acting on how you feel. Acknowledging your emotions and sitting with them is very different than like acting out and acting on them, which I'm not saying we should do, because then we're going back to letting our anxiety fuel our intuition, because anxiety is not intuition. Sitting with your feelings and honoring them, letting yourself feel them without acting on them, that's going to be more intuition. And then lastly, when you're doing all of this, just understand that being intuitive is not about making other people happy, including yourself. If you get information that's hard for you that you may not want to tell someone, dude, I've had that happen a lot during readings, not even just intuition, but there have been times where, oh, even in email readings, people have asked me questions about like finances or career, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm thinking like my own egotistical brain's like, oh, this could be so great. They should pursue this, this, and that. And then one of their past loved ones steps forward and they're like, actually, this is what they should be doing. I'm like, oh no. So, and I always say this too, like when it comes to past loved ones speaking, sometimes there's this persona that I think some people in the spiritual community portray that, oh, your past loved ones know everything and therefore are giving you the answers and you have to listen to them because they're privy to being able to know everything. They're still people and they still have their own, opinions. And a lot of the times the things that they say are opinions. Again, intuition is there to help teach you lessons and grow as a person. And just because you don't get a positive outcome immediately from following your intuition doesn't mean that it's wrong. It just means that it's leading you to a new point in your life. And if you keep doing the same things over and over, then you're just going to be stuck in the same spot. Because again, you're supposed to meet certain things and do certain things in your life. But if you keep hindering you from meeting those goals, then you're just going to be like Groundhog's Day, you know, not actually learning or growing, but the universe is going to keep giving you those lessons that you need to learn. Until you learn them, you're just going to be stuck there. So don't let thinking that what you're doing is intuition all the time. I think if you are constantly trying to ask the universe for guidance in this very forefront of your mind, conscious way of signs and symbols and my intuition told me this and that all the time, then I don't necessarily think that maybe you're following your intuition. Because again, your intuition is this inner wisdom inside of you. And you can't look for validation for the future in intuition because that's reflection. You can't have reflection before intuition. It's just, I don't know. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comments below on your interpretation or understanding of intuition. Perhaps it will help me better grasp the understanding of it in a spiritual sense. Because I'm working on it. But again, the more you try to conceptualize and make intuition concrete, the more it falls away. So I think it's kind of almost like a snake eating its own tail making this podcast, but maybe definitely a topic that we could revisit in the future too. Thank you so much for listening to this Sunday's podcast. My brain is just like floating out of my head right now. It's not fun, but I appreciate you all listening to this Sunday's podcast where I try to better understand intuition. And until next week, peace out, Brussels sprouts.
Caesars Sportsbook is the only sportsbook app with Caesars rewards. That means, win or lose, every bet you place brings you closer to the type of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app using promo code RADIODYW. Place your first bet of $1 or more for a chance to double your winnings on your next 10 bets. Open to new users in Tennessee who are 21 or older. Max bet of $25 for doubled winnings. Max, additional winnings of $2,500 per bet. Profit boost tokens expire 14 days after receipt. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.